So, you doing okay? Praise the Lord. It's a journey, isn't it? Just finding our way after a devastating loss. It's a journey. And like Charlie said, unless you've been through it, you know, people, you know, they can have a clue, especially like our assistant, Tanja. She is such a blessing. And she hasn't experienced what we've experienced, but because she's been around us and working with us, she has a heart as big as the Grand Canyon of compassion, and she gets it a little more than, you know, most people that don't. And I know that most of us probably have some friends that are, you know, just like mean more than gold to us because they've been there for us. And that's what a safe friend is. A safe friend is someone that you can trust, that you can pour your heart out to and know you're not going to be judged. Someone you don't have to keep your protective guard up. You have, and I'm sure we all have people around like that, where we do have to keep a protective guard. In our book, I give an example of something, you know, kind of like a novel based on our own experiences, but I wrote about a couple who go to church for the first time after a devastating loss, and someone catches them leaving that day, leaving service, and says, "Hey, how you guys doing? I miss seeing you." And they said, "Oh, we're fine." You know, they don't want to talk about it. Do you ever have it where, well, I'm sure, obviously we all have, you know, you lose your loved one and people come up and say, "How are you?" Right? And you're like, "How do you think I am?" Because, you know, they mean well. They love us. They care. But that's just not the best thing to say to someone, especially with a fresh loss. But anyway, why was I saying all that? Oh, safe friends. Safe friends are the ones that you can just be with and be comfortable. And they are such a blessing from God. So, okay. Well, I'm going to speak about the paralysis of grief, a year of firsts, the what ifs, and be kind to yourself. I did a little bit of researching. There's a website called database.earth records that 60.7 million people in the world died last year alone. Over 60 million people died last year. And already this year in the U.S., over 3 million people have died. So if you think about if all those people had at least one, I mean, more than likely two or more people that cared about them, that's over 100 million hurting, grieving people. So you are not alone. You are not weird, and you are very normal. But unfortunately, it's a new normal, isn't it? But there are a lot of grieving people out there. So just know that there is nothing wrong with you outside of the fact that your heart has been crushed. But you are good. The Lord loves you, and you are not weird, is basically what I want to say. So as we all know, it's a very life-altering journey that we walk, isn't it? Everything is different now. I saw a story about a girl who had a miscarriage. And I've never had a miscarriage, so I couldn't really fully relate, but I know it's horrible for those who have had a miscarriage. It's devastating, but for those on the outside, they're like, well, and I never thought this myself, but I know a lot of people do. Well, it's not a real baby. They didn't lose a baby. They lost their pregnancy or whatever. You don't tell that to that mother who just lost the baby that was not fully formed yet on the inside of them. And she, so she put this really moving post on Instagram that my daughter showed me. And this girl is, she had just had a miscarriage. And she had the camera on herself, and she had captions going as she was sitting there, and she just broke down crying. And one caption was, you know, people just don't understand that this is a major loss, and it's just different than other major losses. Anyway, she went on. It was very powerful and poignant. And one of the people commented back and said, as I am getting older and find myself grieving with friends more often, I have come to realize that just sitting, agreeing, and validating their feelings is what they want and need the most. Sometimes an ear, a shoulder, a lap to lay on while you brush their hair is all they need. We don't always need to fill the silence. So that's a good reminder for all of us when we minister to others who've lost something. But I just love that even for my own journey. That's so right. We don't need someone to tell us, you know, you're going to get through this. You know, someone prayed with us. It was later in the first year after our son passed away, and he was praying over us. He said, I just feel like you guys are like 80% through this grief journey. I'm thinking, you don't live with me. You don't know what I go through. You don't see what I live with every day. You know, people, they don't know. So we have to give a lot of grace, don't we, to people. Amen. So let's see. So one of the chapters in our book is called The Analysis of Paralysis, which is basically what we experience when we walk through losing someone that we love. And that type of paralysis is not necessarily physical, although it can be, in a sense. A friend of mine, very, very, very close friend, one of my longest standing friends from when I was in sixth grade, we met. Her husband died suddenly from a heart attack. I mean, bam, he was gone. She went through such terrible trauma that her jaw locked up and she couldn't eat for months. She would just sip through a straw. And so, you know, there can be a type of paralysis from the trauma. You know, it's a form of PTSD, really, what many of us experience. It's that hard on our body, the trauma and the stress that we go through. We had to have two funerals for our son because we lived in St. Louis at the time, which is where our kids all grew up, and he was living in Arizona, and all of Charlie's family is out there. So we did a funeral in St. Louis, and then we had to pack up and go to Phoenix and do one there. Got to do it all over again. So for the first one, I stood in my closet the day of the funeral, and I was just staring at my clothes. What am I going to wear to my son's funeral? I've never done this before. And I was paralyzed. I just stood there and I felt like the clothes on the shelves and on the hangers were just taunting me. You know, like, I dare you to try to pick me out, you know. They weren't going, pick me. It was serious. And I just stood there and I would just break out crying to where I was just heaving from my innermost depths. And then, you know, eventually I just had to pull it together, grab this, grab that, and go on. Then a few days later, 2-3 days later, when we were packing to go to Arizona, that happened But even worse, we almost missed our flight because, again, I'd been trying to pack for days now and I just couldn't do it because I was paralyzed in my heart, in my mind. But by the grace of God, got it done. Barely made the flight, but we made it. Thank you, Jesus. But it's just mind-numbing when you have to walk through that. And I'm just telling you this because some of you get down on yourselves because you feel bad about feeling bad. But it's normal. Your soul has been crushed. Your heart's been broken. You just need to give yourself some space. Give yourself some grace. It's not always going to be this way, but it's hard, especially at first. It's so hard. And we just have to be kind to ourselves. Jesus said, "When I go away, I will send the Comforter." And so he has sent the Comforter because he did go away. The Comforter is here. Thank God we don't have to walk this road alone. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is with us, and he will live through us if we let him. He's always there trying to help us. And sometimes, like Linda, we were sharing it. It was so beautiful what you said, and you're broken and you don't understand, but if you just can take a breath and just pause for a minute and just cry out to God, because he is your present help in time of need. He's always there to help us and to undergird us. A friend of ours, who Charlie spoke about, his best friend that passed away last year. I mean, we were all friends before any of us were married, and so it's been such a tragedy because he was young. I mean, the older we get, you know, he just turned 72 before he died, a little bit before he died, and that's really young now. It didn't sound so young when I was younger, but it's getting younger all the time. But so it's a tragedy, even though a younger person might think, oh, he was old, you know, it's okay. But for those of us that are closer, it wasn't okay. And his wife is a very dear friend of ours. And she was the one he was speaking of who went to a grief seminar last fall. Well, she just came to visit us last week, and it was so wonderful, and had, you know, we laughed and cried together. It was just so good. But she shared something very poignant. And, you know, they were basically empty nesters, and so now she lives alone. Her daughter is in and out, traveling all over the place, so she's not there that much. And she has two sons that live in town, and they come over occasionally. But she's basically there alone. Who's in that position where you're living alone? So after all the dust settled from the funeral and everyone went home and life began to just get back to normal, new normal, she began to be hit with these thoughts. I'm all alone now. I'm all alone. And it was just kind of hitting her. And it was scaring her at first because it was just so odd. She'd never been alone. She had never lived alone. She went from living in her parents' home to getting married and been with him all those years. And now he's gone, and she's the only one living in the house. But in her heart, even though she would say, "I'm alone now," and would begin to feel the, you know, how hard that is, she felt on the inside of her, she felt the Lord say, "I'm here with you." And she was like, "Oh, wow, you are always here with me. I am not alone." And she said every day she has to make that choice because she gets hit with it every day because she's the one that's there without any other people in the house. And she has to choose that Jesus is here with me. He's my brother. The Lord is my father. And now he's my husband. And he is reaching out to all of us to just to assure us that he is there with us all the time. He won't ever leave us. Never. So we have to, it's a challenge, isn't it? We have to take a stand, and we have to take hold of the Word of God, His promises to us, and get those in our hearts. Psalm 34:18 says, He is close to the brokenhearted. In the Passion Translation, it says, The Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain. Isn't that beautiful? He is close to us all. And it goes on to say in verse 19 in the Passion, Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. Now, in our condition, if I would have just stopped by in our situation, if I would have stopped at the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated, I would be like, oh, really? That doesn't seem so right. But I love what it went on to say. They will not be defeated by what they face. So we have to draw in to the Lord and let Him comfort us. Let Him surround our hearts with all of His love that is just, that He wants to just dump on us daily. So just want to encourage you to stay close, because He'll never leave us. He's with us always, all the way to the end. And we just have to equip our hearts, because it's really true, isn't it? So I want to share a story of how the Lord comforted me in kind of an odd way. Back during our son's illness, in the very beginning after his diagnosis, and we let all of our friends know so that they could be standing with us, because we were not going to let this go sour. I mean, this is going to be a testimony of God's healing power that takes place in our son, and we just knew it. And so we were, you know, bold to share with others so that they would just stand with us and agree, and, you know, we would see the Word of God manifest and come to pass and all this stuff. Anyway, in the beginning, a friend of ours sent a text to Bo, and it had the scripture from Isaiah 43:2. And that scripture is the one that says, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. And when he read that, he just grabbed a hold of that in his heart, because he was looking at facing radiation to his neck region. And that was not very pleasant. Our son-in-law, our former son-in-law, who is in the medical field, he said, that is like setting off a bomb on the inside of you, as far as, you know, just the heat. And it's like a fire on the inside. And so here the Lord sent him this scripture, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And so one of his friends had this bracelet made and gave us one, and, you know, everyone was wearing these, all of his friends, and it's got Isaiah 43:2 on there. And then on the backside, it said, Bo, walk hard. You know, in other words, don't give up. Keep going through the flames. And so we were just excited to have these, and we were giving them all out, and he gave us the box so we could share them with our friends. And we were about out of them. So I thought, well, I better order some more, because, you know, people are loving them. It's just nice to have. And so, you know, his friend did these, but I went ahead and did it to order some more. So I changed it a little bit. I put his whole name on there instead of just Bo, and the passage from Isaiah put on there. Well, in the meantime, Bo died. And it was, our world fell apart. And then about 3 or 4 days later, a box comes in the mail with a bunch of bracelets, 100 reminder bracelets, which some of them look like this. So I just got this box. I'm like, what is this? I opened it up and I just burst into tears. because here's this box of reminder bracelets, you know, stating our stand. And I couldn't believe it. So I was sobbing, I'm sobbing. So after I got my composure, I decided just to look at them. So I took one out, and I'm reading it. It's got his name, Beau Charles LeBlanc. And then it's got, I went ahead and put Through the Fire on there. And then I began to look at the scripture passage, the scripture reference. And I put Isaiah 40, now this was 43:2. I put Isaiah 42:3. And when I saw that again, I was like, wah! You know, I just lost it again. Could not believe it. What am I going to do with these stupid bracelets? So then after I got my composure again, I decided to look up the scripture. Okay, what did I put on these bracelets? You know, because you hear stories of people, you know, doing really crazy things like that. And I read the passage that said, "He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. And he will bring justice to all who have been wronged." That's the scripture that went on this bracelet. Now, you know, I do know that the Lord sees the end from the beginning. I know he didn't plan for our son to die. It was not his will for our son to die. We don't know everything. We can't answer all the questions. But God led me to put that passage, that reference on this bracelet. "And he will bring justice to all who have been wronged." And you know, that's going to be a long time fulfillment, but this here today is part of that fulfillment. We're believing that you will get something from the Lord to help you in your heart, to carry on and to find another layer of healing. Now in the Passion Translation, which I just read this a few days ago, in Isaiah 42:3, it says, "He will never crush a broken heart, nor disregard the weak and vulnerable. He will make sure justice comes to those who are wronged." Do any of you feel like you've been wronged? God will bring vindication and justice to you. He is faithful. And he loves you. And it may not come in the package you thought it was going to, but he is faithful to his promises. Thank God. Whew. Yeah. So I just want to say again about the paralysis, you know, It's hardest in the beginning, but it does get easier as time goes on. You know, you will never be, now this is a point of some people don't agree with this. You will never be over it because your loved one is in your heart forever. We can move forward. But it won't have to stay the way it was when it was so hard. And the paralysis will lessen. The paralysis can be just forgetting. You know, you can't remember anything anymore. Or it could just be you just don't want to go out. You just want to stay home and just be to yourself. And there's so much confusion. But by God's grace, we can move forward. Hallelujah. So let's talk a little bit about the year of firsts. This is something that not everyone realizes in the beginning, is as you go through, especially the first year of your loved one's passing, you're going to come across their birthday. And that's a doozy. So that's just going to happen. And it's not going to be the first year. It's going to be every year. So with our family, with our daughters, we're grateful to be able to live in the same town. We always get together on Beau's birthday, and we do something. We'll just have dinner together. We'll play his music. We'll just celebrate him. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And we'll probably do that till we go to heaven. And it's just another way that we can remember and just acknowledge our common love for him together. And then there's your birthday. Maybe, like our friend who just visited last week, she had a big milestone birthday in December. Well, her husband passed away in August, so he wasn't there for her big milestone birthday. And that was hard. So what she did, she just did something out of the ordinary. And I highly recommend doing things like this. Her daughter was with YWAM in Paris, so she went to Paris, and our friend's birthday is the day after Christmas. So she killed two birds with one stone. I shouldn't say that at a grief conference. Sorry. She took care of two things at once. And she went to Paris with her daughter for a couple of weeks, which was through Christmas and her big milestone birthday. Had a wonderful time, created some new memories. And I highly recommend doing something unusual that's not just in your, you know, the way you've always done things. Like, I am so bad wanting to, for Christmas some year, instead of giving gifts and schlepping out all the decorations and everything you do, which is real, personally, is a hard time of year for me. I just want to take our family on a cruise and just get away. Yeah! And we're doing it. I'm not sure it'll be this year, but maybe next year. We'll get it. But just do something unusual. So our friend that Charlie was talking about who called and just couldn't stop crying. And this woman, she is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, the devil is definitely scared of her because she's just one of these strong, you know, just resolute Bible faith women. And yet here she is falling apart. Her husband passed away. And so this is probably, oh, 7-8 months after. Maybe a little more than that. Anyway, she called us, and she's just crying, and, you know, we minister to her. And so then she's back together again, and she and I are talking, and it's coming up on the year anniversary, and that's another first, is the year anniversary of their passing. That's another one of those, kind of like their birthday. It's a hard day. And so I knew she was doing really good by this time, and I said, Carla, you may want to consider doing something for the anniversary, something unusual. Go out of town. She lives in L.A., no family there. She teaches public middle school, so you can imagine that environment. And I said, I would encourage you just take the day off. Actually, it was a Friday that year. Just take the weekend off and go away, do something. And she said, really? I said, trust me. You will thank me later. So she did. She called a friend, and a friend came to visit her, and they just went off and had a lovely weekend together. And so, you know, sometimes we just have to plan ahead for these times because they're hard, these firsts. You know, maybe... again, Charlie's friend that passed away. He was my friend too, Larry. He was his first grandson was about to be born, just a month or two after he passed away, and so that was hard, you know, especially for their son and for all of them. You know, the fact that he didn't get to be there to see his grandson. He did have a granddaughter, but this is his grandson, who they named him after, Larry. But you know, the wedding anniversary for those that lost a spouse. That's a hard one. And I just want to encourage you, mark the, you know, you, of course you've got them on your calendar, but think ahead. And don't just, unless you just want to be alone, to go walk on the beach or something, do something out of the ordinary just to help you get through these times. Because, like, they can set you back. You know, if you happen to have a really emotional day, it might take you a couple days to recover. We're at 15 years, okay? But it sure doesn't feel like 15. It flies by so fast. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I was very aware that we were coming up on the anniversary of his passing. And, you know, Charlie and I took the day off, and we were going to get with our girls later that evening, but we just went out and got some bagels, and just, it was just going to be a nice day. But all of a sudden, I got hit out of the blue. Last thing I expected, because I was, you know, I was doing good, and I was real emotionally stable, but boy, did it hit hard. And you just don't know when that's going to happen, right? It just, grief has a mind of its own, and you just never know. But it was good that we weren't at, that I wasn't working a secular job. You know, thankfully we don't do that, or any kind of a job that you have to go to, secular, Christian, whatever. I just encourage you to plan ahead for these special days, and that will help you just to be able to just grieve freely, cry if you need to, and not be worried about what anyone else is thinking. It just helps. Oh, man, the holidays, Valentine's Day. My friend just went through Valentine's Day, her first Valentine's Day without her husband. That's a tough one. So I just encourage you just to be aware that these times are going to come. And it might not hit you this year emotionally. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful when we can kind of just sail through. But you know, just don't be surprised. And don't think you're weird, because it happens to everyone. I mean, grief is common. We have to grieve. So Charlie was talking about tears. I've heard two things about tears. I haven't gotten to study it out myself. But our friend who was just with us, something she learned is that the biological makeup of the actual tear is different than a happy tear. It's like there's more enzymes, or there's more sodium or something in the tears of grief, tears of sorrow, have a different makeup than happy, you know, joyful tears, and or a, like, you know, you hurt yourself and or you get something in your eye or something. It's different. And another friend told us she had fallen and had a traumatic brain injury. And it took her months and months to recover. And she was believing God. And thank God she was believing God, because I would hate to have seen if she hadn't have been, you know. But after a while, she went to see a psychiatrist, not psychologist, yeah, psychiatrist. And he told her, when you want to cry, you need to cry. Because when we cry, it does something to our physical brain to help it heal. So that's one of the reasons it's so important to not hold back when you have this thing that's kind of building. I mean, usually anymore with me, I'll get a tender moment, and it'd be like, oh gosh, and I might, you know, just have watery eyes a little bit, but nothing, you know, I'll just kind of like, I can't go here right now. And then maybe something like that'll happen a week later. And then it's a little stronger. And that might happen 3 or 4 times. And all of a sudden I hit a gusher because I had been pressing it down and not letting it come forth. And, you know, it's just harder that way. So if we can let these tears, it's not that the tears cleanse your brain, but there is something physiological that takes place when we let the mourning come forth. God gave us these tears to help cleanse us, release us. You know, you always many times feel better after a good cry, right? You know, you just, it's like, it was so building up. And then after it's over, you're just like, okay, all right. You know, you just, it's helpful. So let it flow when you can. All right. You know, the if onlys and the what ifs, I was plagued by those after our son passed away. Like, what if we had found the cancer sooner? Maybe we could have, you know, we could have saved him then. Or what if we hadn't have sent him to that move to, so he could go to this high school? We moved houses into a different school district. Well, we found out later that high school was built on a dioxin dump. And several kids had gotten cancer. And we don't know for sure, you know, they kind of bury it and it's really hard to find information, but it's like 2 + 2, you know. So, or what if we had gone to this healing institution instead of that one? You know, there's all these what ifs. And if I had only gotten to say a real true goodbye to him, because, I mean, we were standing till the end and we weren't afraid. Excuse me. We weren't afraid for him to die because God raises the dead. So we thought, even if he dies, we're just going to pray and believe and call him back. Well, we did that, but he didn't come back. He probably was so miserable that he said, I ain't coming back. I'm sorry. I can breathe now, because the cancer had moved to his lungs and it was a mess. But if only I'd gotten to say a real sweet goodbye to him, which actually the Lord gave me a vision about, well, it was about 9 months later in a dream. It was a dream. I was dreaming right before I woke up one morning, and the Lord just kind of let me say goodbye. It was the sweetest thing. It would take too long to share. But, you know, just dealing with these if-onlys and the what-ifs, if, you know, it could all be different if only this or that would have happened. And those are brutal, but you can't do anything about it. And so it's one of these things we just have to put aside, let the healing balm of the Lord cover your hearts, and let him help you move forward. We know someone that we talked to several times that she lost her husband, and then she lost an adult daughter after her husband passed away. And she was just so overwhelmed with grief for so long, and just, I don't understand why God let this happen, and yada, yada. And, you know, my heart went out to her, but it's like year after year, whenever we'd see her, it was kind of the same thing. And and that was, you know, 15 years ago for us. And after, recently, I learned that when her daughter was ill, and she had cancer, she said some, apparently, I learned she said some really ugly things to her daughter. I think maybe because she was going the natural route instead of the medical route, and she was just declining, and she said some really ugly things. And I think the person that told me that believes that she, you know, this is why she can't forgive herself, because she just couldn't let her go, let all that go. I mean, she just hammered her daughter, and then she died. And so she's devastated, and she's still stuck all these years later. So we just can't, we can't hang on to stuff like that. We have a lot of questions too. I don't, you know, that we've had to deal with over the last 15 years. But we've had to just put it on the shelf, just give it to Jesus. He cares for us. He's helping us walk through this journey. And what I didn't get to finish, I'm out of time, but I just wanted to say to be kind to yourself. Don't put yourself in stressful situations that you know is going to trigger something. Like, don't go be around that person that is kind of like always telling you how to do it, how to, what, you know, like my dear friend whose husband died suddenly from a heart attack was constantly being pressured by others, clean out his closet, get all that stuff out of here. You guys just need to sell this house, get out of there. It's been 6 years. She still hasn't done it. And that's her journey. It's okay. There are no rules. You do things when you are ready. So you have to be kind to yourself. You don't have to return every phone call and text. It's okay. You know, you don't have to just keep a stiff upper lip all the time. And that's okay too. You can cry when you need to. Do be around other people that you're comfortable with. It's so important. Just get away and change up your routines, like we were saying. Just surround yourself with safe friends, people that love you and you can just be honest with. So that's so important in our journey. And to get lots of rest. Very, very, very important to put yourself first a little bit. Women especially are so used to serving. You know, we're the ones that take care of our families and we cook and we clean and we bind up, you know, bandage the hurt knees and all that. But we need to take time for ourselves just to let the love of God minister to us. So be kind to yourself as you walk this journey. God will be there to hold you when you don't feel like you can carry on. He will hold you. He will walk like that footprints in the sand. He will walk with you when you can't carry on. He will carry you. So praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's pray. Father God, you are so good to us, and we thank you that you are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're always there with us. We are never alone because you are there to wrap your arms around us and to walk with us every step. We thank you for your healing touch. I pray that every person here will come away with just another layer of healing in their heart and another step closer to their deeper in their relationship with you. I pray that trust would grow and hope would grow and that you would show them the beautiful hope that they have in you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.